prayerful attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. The 19th verse of the 4th chapter of Paul's Epistle to the Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We spent little time this morning in looking at these words, and in particular those words which commence the text, but my God. And we felt there was a mercy there for the Church of Christ, that by in covenant engagement he became their God. We felt this separates and differs all from a vain profession of religion to that which is the possession of grace in the soul. And we tried to bring the word before you of the importance of this precious word, my God. Various places we drew your attention to where God's people were brought into this pathway of feeling a union to God. Well, we felt it was a covenant engagement that brought this about. And the word goes on, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But before we come a little deeper into the word, into the spiritual pathway and provision that God makes for his family, there's just one or two other points that I would bring before you. The churches in our day, the denomination in which we form a part, are indeed in a sad and desolate place. Wherever one goes, we can but see that which distresses us, as we see the Lord evidently withholding his Spirit's work amongst the churches. That's a malady, my friends, which distressed the lovers of Zion. When we see declension, when we see causes of truth minished and brought low, and prayer and supplication seems to die on our lips as we seek again and again that the Lord would turn his hand of mercy. It is sad, of course, when we view in certain causes of truth in other denominations where the hand of man is put forth to revive and strengthen by numbers. But, my friends, may grace be given to those who are burdened with the state of Zion to plead this word. Because the promises of God are to be pleaded. They're not there just for one's own personal encouragement, although of course they are a personal encouragement. This word is to me, and I'm sure it is to many of you. But if you are burdened with the condition and the state of Zion in our day, it's a word to plead. It's a word to lay before God in secret in your prayers and supplications that he will supply all your need. It is trying and it is evidently distressing because there are many occasions where causes of truth, where the work and of faithful ministers and deacons and so on have gone for years, and we see a turning away from the old paths, and new things are brought in, and those things which are given and used to attract people to come. There are no substitute for the Holy Spirit, my friends. if Zion is to prosper, if we're going to see David's prayer answered in 1990, when he said, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the Jerusalem, it's my God that shall supply all your needs. I would leave this word with you for this purpose, that you might and I might burden with the condition of Zion and of the churches and the congregations of Zion, and that we might be given a spirit of prayer to plead this promise and to prove the realization of it, that the Lord will turn and have mercy and revive his work in the midst of the years. My God shall supply all your needs. We look at the desolations, we look at the condition and state then of the people of God, and oh, may God grant us a spirit of prayer to plead this word and to see his hand going forth once again, if it is in accordance with his sovereign will, to revive and strengthen the things which remain, which seem ready to die. But this word I would desire to bring before you now, as the Lord will help us, concerning the redemption and salvation of the Church of Christ, both collectively and individually. We spoke, I believe we did, from these words this morning in respecting the pathway of God's people, shall supply all your need. We must remember this, my friends, that the Lord doesn't always supply all our wants. Now, we often want this and we want that, and we can see good reasons for it. But the Lord has promised to supply all our needs, to maintain us in life and to bring us through the wilderness journey at last to be with him. But there are certain blessings which are needful and necessary, which the Lord will grant his people in the spiritual pathway and exercise. My God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the blessings of salvation are in Christ Jesus. The blessings of salvation to the church militant comes through Christ Jesus and all that he has done. The life of God in the soul, once felt and realized as the work of the Holy Spirit, will bring a sinner into need. We commence this morning, I believe, with those words, that it would be a mercy if amongst us here, and including ourselves, that we felt to be needy sinners. Now, sovereign grace will bring a sinner into need, and only sovereign grace. You can have what religious upbringing you like, but that in itself will never bring us into a spiritual state of need. It's only when the Holy Spirit quickens sinners into life, draws aside the curtains, as it were, of old nature, and shows the poverty, what it is to be ruined by sin, that will bring such characters into being a needy and poverty-stricken sinner. That's no bold statement, my friends, without the scriptural truth of it. David, the man of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart, a man who was so blessed, evidently by his writings in the Psalms and so on, and remarkable deliverances from his many enemies too. But he was brought to say this concerning the spiritual state of his own soul, and to the encouragement of the Church of Christ to the end of time. He will hear the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This is written for the generation to come. My God shall supply all your need. It is a mercy, my friends. You may not understand it sometimes, And especially I consider this truth, that in the beginnings of the way, when the hand of the Holy Spirit is has touched your soul and quickened you into life and brought you to feel a burden that you didn't feel before, and light is shed upon the pathway and especially upon your own soul standing, and then you become to be in need. It may be, as I said, you've come and gone to God's house all the days of your life. But I will say this, my friends, when life is implanted in the heart, when that old nature which is dead in trespasses and sins becomes a burden to you, when you are brought, as the apostle was in the ninth of the Acts of the Apostles, to pray for the first time over your own soul and your spiritual standing, you will know then what you've never known before, what it is to be spiritually poor, what it is to be destitute, what it is, in a few words, and in a condition that the Holy Spirit will try you with, what it is by nature to be lost. Lost. Well, now, the publican possessed this blessing. He was a needy soul. We read of two characters there that come up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee, as we are well assured, didn't pray, made a few good sounding words before God, showed his own self-righteous condition and his lack of life. But the publican, who could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man in his own eyes was destitute. That man in his own eyes was lost. That man in his own eyes was capable of despair. But, my friends, he had the life of God in his soul, and he had the light of God in his soul, because that light revealed what he was. My God shall supply all your need. Jesus said that this man went down to his house justified. What is it to be justified? Well, first and foremost, a sinner is justified in Jesus Christ. To be justified is to see that all your sins and all your iniquities were laid upon him. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He, in a few words, has done it all. What you needed was done at Calvary's cross. My God shall supply all your need. He sent his Son into the world to save sinners, and all your needs as regards your spiritual existence here below and your hope of heaven at last is in Jesus Christ and on what he has done. My God, it's a wonderful mercy, my friends, if you can acquiesce with the truth of the hymn writer that the Trinity, Father, Son and Holy Ghost is all combined for your soul's salvation, that you can see that that God gave to his Son a number that no man can number, that the willing Son obeyed in covenant, love and agreement to save the fallen church by entering into this world in a body like our own to suffer, bleed and die. But you see, my friends, what is so important is this truth, and the gospel is preached, I suppose, in one's hearing 52 times a year, 52 Sundays a year, and often in the week. But there's two sides of the gospel, and don't misunderstand me, I'm not going to add to something which the Word of God does not tell us. We can preach Christ crucified, and we can tell you of his precious blood. And blessed be God if you've tasted and handled and felt these things to be able to tell them. But that's part of it. The other part of it is the Holy Spirit's work, which brings sinners into a need of it. Now, that's what's so important. That's what's so important. And I have to confess, my friends, that's what's so lacking. That's what's so lacking. The word of his grace, the gospel of his salvation, is preached, and amongst the churches still faithfully preached. But what we watch, what I watch for, and I believe you watch for, in both young and old, is to see a need for this salvation, a hunger and a thirst, of which Jesus Christ said, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, now, I do believe in time then, his Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Ghost, is to quicken souls into divine life and to bring them into a need of this supply which God has given in his Son. Well, can you go back to the day? Can you look back into the pathway that you've walked thus far? And the day, the hour, and the spot of ground, it may be, or the season, when, like the prodigal, you began to be in want. Now, that's the Holy Spirit's work. That's not something out of old nature. You'll carry about till you die the body of sin and death, the heart that's deceitful above all things. Don't ever expect that to get better, because it cannot and it won't. And it'll be laid in the tomb one day. But the new man of grace, which comes from the quickening effect of the Holy Spirit, will seek for and desire after these blessings which are in Christ Jesus. And the Lord has promised his people that he shall supply all your need. You'll come to need them. And let me say this, my friends, whether you're 21 or 81, you'll always need them if you've got life. You'll never come to a time, if you've got spiritual life, when you won't need them. And to the day of one's death, you'll be in the condition, as the Holy Spirit so blesses you, that you'll need this revelation again and again for yourself. I do know this, and I must be careful, because the Word of God instructs us. In the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of returning, and he said, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Now I do know what that means, that in the day of blessing there won't be anything to ask for, but whilst you walk this wilderness journey, you will be nothing more or nothing less than a needy sinner. And if your pathway doesn't prove this to you, well, I would be surprised. Because constantly, every day of one's wilderness journey, is the need of mercy prayed for, is the blessing of his presence, the upholding and the supporting of his grace needed to continue. The Lord doesn't put his people in the way and then leave them. Heaven is that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles, but it's a prepared place. And the people of God that shall get there is a prepared people. The Lord does give dying grace in a dying hour, but throughout the work of grace, he is preparing his people for glory. And they shall be a needy people. They shall be a people that shall hunger and thirst after the blessings which are in Jesus Christ. The apostle writing in this same epistle, in the chapter previous, speaks about this knowledge, and he said, that I may know him. He was by birth and practice a Pharisee. He was by birth and practice a fallen sinner. He was by grace brought into the family of God. He was a persecutor. He was now a preacher. This zealous Pharisee now preached the gospel. And he was favored, I would suppose you would agree, above many, with a revelation of Christ and those blessings which are in Christ. were granted to him, or else he could not preach them. But he comes to this, that I may know him. That I may know him. You cannot know enough of Jesus Christ, and you cannot need Jesus Christ enough. But my God shall supply all your need. Then he quickens sinners into life. What does John Newton say in that hymn? 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? John Newton, delivered from a sinful existence, brought to preach the gospel of Christ, and that was his desire. It should be so, my friends. That's the life of God in the soul that seeks after Jesus Christ and the blessings which are in him. Now, I believe when the Holy Spirit then quickens sinners into life, he burdens them more or less with their sin. You may have heard about sin. You would have heard about sin if you're found in God's house, though it is in unregeneracy. You've heard the preaching about sin and the need of salvation. But my friends, when the Lord puts his hand to the work, you feel the sins of your old nature, and by birth and practice, you bow under it. David was a saved sinner. David was one, as we said, of the sweet psalmist of Israel, raised to that exalted position of Israel's king, saw the Lord's hand in remarkable deliverances. A moment of ease, David fell, and the Lord sent Nathan to him to speak a parable, and a poor man was so blind he couldn't see what he was on about, till Nathan said, "Thou art the man," and conviction of sin entered his heart, and it brought conviction, always brings confession, and where the work of the Holy Spirit is, it brings pardon. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We spoke this morning a few things about the servant of God Job and his pathway of deep afflictions and suffering. We could have said about his miserable comforters that he was plagued with. We could have said about that gracious, godly young man that spoke to him. But then when God spoke to him, he said, "Behold, I am vile." He fell before the word of God. My God shall supply all your need. It brought Job to realize, highly favored as he was, one that eschewed evil, that feared God, one that was under the smile of God, and yet he could fall before God under God's own word in his heart and say, "Behold, I am vile. My God shall supply all your need." It's a mercy, my friends, if the Lord has taught you a little of these things, that in your eyes you're amongst the sinners of the earth. The apostle said, and grace brought him to this place. Grace will bring a sinner down. Grace will bring humility to a sinner. There's no place for pride amongst sinners. Not of any sort. Not of any sort. And certainly not amongst the people of God. A dreadful sin and a dreadful plague is the pride of one's own heart. God keep us from making even grace a snare. But the apostle came to that place in his letter to his son in the faith, Timothy, where he confesses this. And it's only grace that brought that honest word out of Paul's heart. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I am chief. That wasn't an idle boast, my friends. the Lord begins a work in your soul, you acquiesce to that word, you fall before it, and you'll say, I understand what the apostle meant. My God shall supply all your need. Well, he'll bring you, he'll bring the people of God into a state of need, a state of spiritual need. He'll bring you to know that you are ruined by the Adam fall, and by sin you are ruined on your own account. By birth and practice you're a sinner. But it will bring you, and that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring a sinner into need of Jesus Christ. And that's where the sovereignty of the work of grace is demonstrated. I have said many a time, and it, I believe, is true. So many make an emphasis on salvation by the means of man. Salvation is always God's work. And the need of salvation is the Holy Spirit's work, and it's sovereignly disposed on whom it will. And no one asked Saul of Tarsus when he was going to be saved or not. That was the Holy Spirit's work. Thus far and no further. So it is always, my friends, to everyone whose names is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. The appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but called by grace to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. What I do love about that beautiful hymn, what encourages me sometimes, is when the hymn writer said, glory to God, they ne'er shall roam beyond the limits of his love. Don't fall into that sad condition of doubting God's ability to save. You may have loved ones in your heart to pray for, and they may go to the ends of the earth in wickedness. They may do everything possible to distress and trouble your soul and make prayer impossible to answer. But there stands the truth. They shall not, and they cannot go beyond the limits of his love. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to save the church, which was ruined, to save you and I, if our names are recorded in heaven, he sent his only begotten Son. There's a word in the Gospel of John chapter 3 which is totally misrepresented. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking of himself and drawing an illustration from the word of God, says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Another place he said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That's the supply of our needs, my friends. What else? How else? What else is the remedy for the malady? If God's taught you the malady, you'll thank him one day for all eternity. And that's no emotional, bold statement. The song of the redeemed, if you read the first chapters of the book of the Revelation, is unto him that has loved us and has washed us from our sin. The provision God has made. That's what so upsets so many people in religion. They cannot lay straight the sacred truths that the salvation of sinners is not dependent upon their works of righteousness which they have done, but upon his love and upon his mercy and upon his grace and upon all that Jesus Christ did and does do for fallen, wretched, but sensible sinners. Well, he sent his Son into the world, who assumed humanity, walked 33 years, and for 3 years or so of that lifetime, he preached the gospel of reconciliation, He preached the gospel of grace. He preached a gospel that was disowned and not believed by the Pharisee, but indeed was life and power to poor wretched sinners. There was an occasion in the life of Jesus Christ when he was in the house of the Pharisee. He was there to, under the request of the Pharisee, he was eating in a Pharisee's house. And there was a woman there that was a sinner. This is the gospel, my friends, and it's sweet to my soul. The Pharisee said of him, "This man," and it wasn't very polite words, "this man receiveth sinners." Blessed be God that he did, my friends. There'd be no gospel. But this occasion was that this sinner was before Jesus Christ. And the Pharisee, in his self-righteous, dead condition, said, "If this man was a prophet, he would know what sort of woman this is." Blessed be God, he came for that sort of women and men. And she could not approach Jesus Christ but behind him. And we read that she washed the feet of Christ with her tears and dried them with the hairs of her head. She was a sensible sinner. She was sensible of sin. And she was a sensible sinner inasmuch she was directed by the Holy Spirit to the fountain of all mercy, Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your needs. Jesus Christ, pardon that sinner. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven. There was a woman taken in adultery in the very act, and they brought her to Jesus for his judgment upon her. And that blessed word of mercy which fell from the lips of Christ. You know, my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ preached a gospel of mercy. Sinners they were, broken law sinners that were under this gospel. The law, the commandments said, and the covenant of works said, stoner. She was a sinner. The covenant of grace said, mercy. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, neither did I condone thee. Neither do I condemn thee. Sin no more. What a remarkable gospel. My God shall supply all your need. The woman at the well of Samaria, sunk in sin and unaware of its heinous condition. The Lord Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. There was a soul to be saved. The word of his grace was effectual. The woman left her water pots and said, "Come see a man who's told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. But my God shall supply all your needs. Would to God the houses of prayer, and I would say it in all reverence, was brought to know what it was to have those amongst us who were sensible sinners, that crawled in the door because of the burden of sin, that laid before God in spiritual things and begged for mercy. Because there and there alone is life, and there alone will be the gospel found, and it will suit such conditions and suit such sinners. The Lord grant those things even in our day in Zion. But he sent his son to die, shall supply all your need. The psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, who will stand? Sinner, your sins are to be marked. My sins are to be marked. And they will be marked upon one or another. They will be marked upon you for all eternity. They will be marked upon Jesus Christ and shall forever be put away. The sins of the human race, every one that has been committed, shall be answerable for. Sin reaps its own condemnation. The fruit of sin is death. And that shall be visited upon either the sinner or the sinner's substitute. My God shall supply all your need, in the provision of Jesus Christ, God sent a substitute. He said to Job, deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. He found it in his son, the provision God has made to supply all your need. The dying thief was one such character who justified God in his own condemnation. We indeed justly, he said, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. The condemnation of the Church of Christ fell upon Jesus Christ. He took our sins and nailed them to the tree, if our names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. My God shall supply all your needs. Sinner, if you're burdened with sin, if everywhere you look is sin within, if it does bring you to the mercy seat in prayer, this is the word of hope and mercy. It's in Christ Jesus. We read, and I suppose it's nearly too late to refer to the reading of our lesson this afternoon, but the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians tells us plainly, the apostle writing to the saints at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus brings a blessing before the Ephesian church, a blessing which is to God the Father. Blessed be God the Father, be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. A simple word, but a most profound word, a comprehensive word. All the blessings of salvation then are in Christ. No wonder the apostle desires the church at Ephesus to bless God. Oh, that's a good word, my friends. The saints of God don't often bless God. Days of revelation seem to be but few. But the Lord revealed to you and to me the blessings of salvation and apply them to our condition of soul and show us that it is in Jesus Christ and love to sinners that he came to die. And I say this, you'll bless him. The song of the redeemed isn't started in heaven, it's begun down here. A revelation of salvation in Jesus Christ and all that he has done. So the dying thief reminds his lost compatriot that we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, the condemnation due for sin is laid on Christ the substitute. The epistle to the Romans, chapter 8, begins a word of sacred consolation to the Church of Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That sacred chapter ends with, there is no separation. The people of God are you. This people, as Ruth said, thy people shall be my people and thy God, my God. You're joined in union with them here. You walk in communion with them at times here below. But in heaven there is no separation. Nothing can separate the Church of Christ from the love of Christ. Nothing, neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything, shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will supply all your needs. What is he going to supply a sinner? The precious blood of Jesus. The epistle of John, the first epistle of John, chapter 1, has those sacred words written, and they are to be sounded aloud to sensible sinners. And when by the Holy Spirit they are applied to sensible sinners, oh, the precious benefit they bring. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, all sin. Supply all your needs. But then lastly, one of the blessings which are before the people of God, the substitute is Christ Jesus, the one that stood between, the one that stood in your room, place, and stead, and died at the cross, and rose triumphant. There's so many blessings. We would not be able in the time given to bring out of the gospel of Christ those blessings which are for sinners. But there is this blessing which is yet to come. You may be blessed with many blessings. God bless you with these blessings, that you'll be brought to need these blessings as you are found in the way which leads to eternal life. My God shall supply all your needs. But then what of the end of the journey? Thou shalt see my glory soon, when the work of grace is done, partner of my throne shalt be. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? Well, that blessing is yet to come, as the apostle said in that first chapter, in whom, and all these blessings, he says in the 7th verse, in whom we have redemption. In the 11th verse he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. The 14th chapter of John's Gospel said, to the tried, to the sad disciples, and to the Church of Christ, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. The Lord does this from time to time. But it's supplying all your need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. He's provided heaven, and it's in his Son, and by his Son's sacrifice, and by his resurrection, is heaven assured for the people of God. There won't be any miscarriage. Those that are in Christ, those that whose names are recorded in heaven, those who can come in and understand a little what it is to have that communion with this God. And as is it the psalmist who said, but this God is our God and shall be our guide even unto death. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. This provision is before the people of God. They shall lay down this body of sin and death. It shall be that when the work of grace is done, that they shall be taken out of this time state to be forever with the Lord. That does comfort the people of God sometimes. Comfort ye one another with these words. It's one of the provisions of this covenant of grace and mercy. My God shall supply all your need. The Lord prepare us for these things. The Lord keep us needful and hungry after these things. The Lord bless us with his grace to desire constantly more of him and at last to be with him. The Lord forgive what he's heard amiss. Amen.
Shall we conclude by singing hymn number 69? The tune is Triumph 691.